Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18. We're going to be continuing in our series Sunday morning, going through the book of Acts, and just great that we can do this together, and also be praying for our evening gathering as well as they're going through the Gospel of John on Sunday nights, and I believe it's Pastor Joel that's speaking this Sunday tonight, so that's great. Pray for Joel. I want to talk just for a few minutes this morning before we go into communion about one of the greatest temptations of all. And whenever we hear the word temptation, oftentimes we think in terms of maybe the temptation, if you were maybe a kid in school to take that chocolate bar from the candy store. I mean, that was one of probably the great temptations of all when you're like 5 years old. I know our kids got busted a couple of times when they were growing up, and the pastor's house got called. One time the police came to our door and stuff like that. So we understand all that stuff that you guys go through. Temptation might be, when you think of the word temptation, you may think of sexual temptation. And those are very real temptations. They're very powerful, very strong temptations. But the temptation that I want to talk about this morning is the temptation to quit, the temptation to give up, the temptation to throw in the towel. I think most of us experience those times in our life when we go through difficulty, through hardship, through maybe some kind of disappointment, discouragement. We've all been there. And quitting, giving up, is probably one of the greatest temptations that we face on a continual basis. As a pastor, we've always been told over the years, and I've shared it even with our staff here at the church, pastors are told never to resign on a Monday. And if you're not a pastor, that may not even relate to you at all, but there's so many days, pastors, they go to bed on a Sunday night, they get up in the morning, and they've got their letter already half written. It's just that overwhelming sense that I failed again. I didn't connect, didn't come through, things didn't go according to plan. And it's one of the great temptations that people in ministry face, and not just pastors, but anyone. And maybe you're a small group leader, and the temptation is to quit, to give up, when things don't go well. Well, today in the book of Acts, here in chapter 18, and it's a continuation from where Pastor Johnny shared a couple of weeks ago as Paul the Apostle was preaching in Athens, and he was speaking to the people about the God they didn't know, and just a great section of scripture in chapter 17. We're going to look at a time in Paul's life, the Apostle Paul's life here in chapter 18, where it would have been very easy for Paul to lose heart and become discouraged and give up. We're going to look today at some ways that God encouraged Paul. How many are thankful that we serve a God of hope and a God of encouragement? He's a good God in that way. The good news this morning as we look at some of these things today is that the same God that encouraged Paul is the same God that can encourage us today. And we're going to read the whole section here. It's actually only 11 verses, but it kind of helps to put things a little bit into context, and then we'll come back to a few thoughts as we go along. In verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla." You often hear about Aquila and Priscilla. That sounds like a pretty cool couple, doesn't it? They had recently come from Italy, and because Claudius, who was the Roman emperor at the time, had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But then the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive. He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads, for I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, Crispus. Sounds like something you might enjoy at Tim Hortons or McDonald's. The synagogue ruler and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in the city." And so Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. So as we pick up this passage this morning, Paul, as I just mentioned, has moved from Athens in Greece to Corinth, which was another city a little further north. And we find the gospel is continuing to spread in Europe. Corinth, we talked a little bit about this some time back when we did our series on the book of Corinthians. Corinth was a strategic city. It was on a major trade route. Corinth was, along with being a strategic trade city, was a very difficult city known for its many temples, shrines, including temple prostitution. It was estimated that there were like 1,000 prostitutes who would work on behalf of the temple. Part of it was to raise money for the temple. And they used prostitution as part of their way of financing their work. It was known by many as a moral sinkhole. And it was here in Corinth that God brought Paul to Corinth with the gospel. And so along with this being a strange city for him, it also had many, many challenges. And it's here we find Paul meeting Aquila and Priscilla. These Aquila and Priscilla were also Jews who had been kicked out of Rome, and now they had come down to Corinth. The Bible says that both Paul and Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. And so it's interesting that Aquila and Priscilla invited Paul into their home where they stayed and they worked together. I thought this was very interesting. It was quite common, actually, in that culture that if someone needed a place to stay, it was quite common just welcome people into their home. And that kind of hospitality was something that was much appreciated. In this case, Paul, being alone, it was something that was very much appreciated, where he could come in and be with someone who was kind of like him, a fellow tent maker. We're not told a lot about, we're not given a lot of details about Aquila and Priscilla, but the interesting thing, I think, if you can kind of read between the lines that this couple would eventually become some of Paul's closest and most loyal friends. In fact, you can read about this in Romans chapter 16. Let me just say that there is some notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along. Even the scriptures that we're reading here, you can follow the scripture. We've got all those 11 verses in your bulletin so that you can follow along if you don't have a Bible this morning. It's interesting that in Romans 16, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, he actually wrote a letter, and he actually gave greetings. He said in his letter, he said, "I want you to greet Aquila and Priscilla, my fellow workers who risked their lives for me." I thought that was a really powerful word, statement. They risked their lives for me. Now, anyone who's going to risk their life for someone, you've got to, in many ways, you are going to be endeared to that person, aren't you? And in this case, we find Paul. We don't know all the circumstances, but Aquila and Priscilla, they risked their lives for Paul. And it's interesting that God knew that Paul was going to need these people. And I want just an observation, maybe a takeaway point that you can write down in your notes, is that godly friendships matter. How many would agree with that this morning? Godly friendships matter. And whatever it is, whatever times of discouragement you might be in, we all go through those times. Loss, disappointment, defeat, grief. Loyal, and I use the word loyal, trusted friends matter. And they can be tremendous sources of encouragement. And as I was thinking about it this week, I was thinking about, over the years, even in my own life, people who have stood with us, people who have stood behind us, people who have been loyal, trusted friends that would encourage us in times of struggle. And I'm very thankful for the people in my life who have stood with me, with us. Very important. My thought this morning is, who is standing with you? And who are you standing with? Because the reality is that one of the realities is that God has put us together as a church family. And it's important that the family stick together, that relationships matter. This past week in our newcomers class that we have in our home, we talked about small groups. We talked about the church being a place of relationships where people come together in different ways, whether it's one-on-one or maybe there's 8 or 10 gathering together, or even as we gather like this morning. Relationships matter. One of the great strategies of the enemy that the enemy uses to defeat people is isolation. How many know that's true? Isolation is one of the great strategies that Satan uses to cause people to quit. When you feel that you have no one in your corner, when you feel you have no one with you, the temptation is to quit, to give up. And so that's why it's so important that we pay attention. The reality is isolation, there's two factors in isolation. Some people choose to be alone. Some people choose to not be in relationship. And so sometimes we need to go out after them. We need to go after those people and say, you need to come into relationship with us so that you do not become a target of the enemy. And one of the reasons that Paul was encouraged to keep going in times of difficulty was because Paul chose relationships over isolation. And I want to encourage you this morning to do the same. To value the relationships that God has given to you and to build on them, to grow in them. And so we carry on. Look at verses 4 through 6. We find that Paul, it says that every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Verse 5, it says, and when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, interesting, Paul had other friends who came to support Paul, came to visit him, came to be part of the ministry. It says, when Silas and Timothy came, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. So in the synagogue, preaching, testifying, sharing Jesus, explaining, talking about Christ being crucified and all the sharing the gospel. Didn't go over so well. Look at verse 6. It says, but when they opposed Paul and became abusive. In this case, opposition was accompanied by abuse. We're not exactly told what happened, but it was in such a way that Paul said, all right, and in some ways, he kind of gave up on this task of reaching the Jews at that point. We'll see that it was kind of somewhat short-lived, though. It says, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your heads, for I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And so this was not an easy time for Paul. In fact, oftentimes you read in other numerous places where Paul experienced a lot of hardship and difficulty and opposition, abuse, danger. And so, in a sense, Paul comes to this place where he's thinking, now what? He resolves to go on. And the interesting thing is, and I love this, is that what he does next is he just simply goes next door. Verse 7, look at verse 7. He goes next door. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius, Justus, a worshiper of God. And then Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household. Now, interesting. He just said, I'm leaving the Jews. I'm not going to preach to the Jews anymore. Well, likely the synagogue ruler was a Jew, right? So he wasn't really hard and fast on that. So he goes to the synagogue leader, who's just next door, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. You read that scripture and you're thinking, like, it's a good thing Paul didn't quit. How many would agree that Paul, it's a good thing that he didn't just say, you know, forget it, I'm not doing any more of this preaching. It's too dangerous. It's not, you know, I'm out. But instead we find Paul goes next door. And in the process of going next door, he comes across Crispus, the synagogue leader, his entire household, which means the household was not just his children. It likely meant servants, anyone that was under his influence, came to know the Lord. And then ongoing, many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. How many would agree this morning that obstacles often lead to new opportunities? How many have found that to be true? Obstacles often lead to new opportunities. When one door closes, God often opens up another door. And in this case, Paul, it was his custom, he regularly would go to the synagogue, but it just seemed like that door was closing, and now God was opening up a new door. And so my encouragement to you this morning, to all of us here today, is that when one door closes, let's be attuned to the fact that God may just be wanting to open up another door. And it's pretty cool to think about it. That when one door closes, God opens up another door. We looked at this a few weeks ago when we looked at Paul when he was in Philippi and they were in jail and overnight and in prison, and God says that the doors got threw open. And one of the questions we asked was, when God opens up a new door, what are you going to do with it? And God used that new door in Philippi, back in, I think it's Acts chapter 16, God used that new door in Philippi to actually reach the Philippian jailer and his household. Obstacles, opposition, often become opportunities for new doors to open. And so we need to be encouraged by that this morning. You may have a door that just seems to be closing, and you're discouraged by it. It just seems like you've reached a brick wall. You've come to a dead end. And it's like it doesn't seem like you're going anywhere with this. I think that's where oftentimes people in ministry become discouraged. It feels like they've come to a dead end. It's not working. We've tried this. It's not working. We need to be attuned to the fact that God may just be wanting to open up something new. And so, interesting is that the opportunity wasn't very far away. You may have an opportunity that God is preparing you for that's very, very close. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. Look for how God might be leading you this morning. And then we pick it up in verses 9 and 10. We're really going through this quickly today. It says, we see how that God speaks to Paul in a vision. We see, first of all, how God gave Paul some loyal, trusted friends in Aquila and Priscilla. They worked together. They lived together. It was very important. These people were great sources of encouragement to Paul. And then we see how that when one door closes, God opens up another door. And then here in the midst of all this, Paul is thinking about, he's probably still feeling quite anxious. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, and he said, 'Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city.'" How many know this morning that God still speaks today? Aren't you thankful for that? God still speaks today. And I love this because here's God speaking to Paul. God used a vision to speak to Paul. There's all kinds of ways that God speaks to us today. God speaks to us, obviously, through his word. We have his written word. God speaks to us through the encouragement of others. God speaks to us sometimes through dreams, sometimes through visions, sometimes through prophetic words. The important thing is we need to pay attention. We need to be in tune. We need to be listening. Because God, you may be in a place where you just seem to be, you're overwhelmed with the hopelessness of the situation you may be in. But it may be in the night vision. A few weeks ago we talked about songs in the night. Songs in the night. It may be in the night season when darkness seems to have crushed in on you that God may just have a whisper for you. And here, God's word to Paul was, don't be afraid. If you've read much of the Bible, you'll find that's a common theme. You know what I'm saying? God is always saying, I'm with you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I love that word. I'm with you. It's going to be okay. Often quitting, giving up, is attached to our fears of the future. The reason a lot of people, they give up a lot, the reason that they throw in the towel is because somehow they believe that the future is not good. And the circumstances of the future may not be good, but the reality is that God is the God of it all. And he's wanting to remind us that no matter how hard, no matter what challenge, no matter what disappointment, no matter what difficulty may come our way, we need to be reminded every day that God is with us. And it's in these times that we need to hear God's voice. And so God promised to Paul, maybe go to the next slide, we just see a few things here, that God said, don't be afraid, I'm with you. He said, you will not be harmed. And I love the last line there. He says, I have many people in this city. And when I read that, I thought, my thought was this, is that God's often, well, not often, he does. God sees what we can't see. God sees, he sees what we cannot see. And that's what vision is all about. God sees the end from the beginning. God sees where we're going. God knows what tomorrow looks like before you and I will ever encounter it. And he's the God of our future just as he is the God of our today. And God was showing to Paul, God was giving him a vision. God was reminding him that, wanting him to know that there's something that is waiting for you that you can't see, but I'm letting you in on it. For I have many people in this city. That's a good sermon right there as we think of evangelism. And I know that Johnny and Joel have been talking a little bit about this Sunday nights, and even a couple of weeks ago, Johnny preached about reaching the people of Athens. There are people in this city that we cannot give up on yet or ever. There are people here in the Comox Valley that we cannot quit on if we are going to take the gospel to them. And so what is it this morning that God sees that we don't see, that we need to trust him by faith and believe that God has a vision for us and a mission for us to accomplish? One of the things that encouraged Paul was that he was reminded of his mission. He was reminded of his purpose. He was reminded of what God had called him to. God said, I have many people in this city. And then what was the response? What was Paul's response? It says he stayed for the next year and a half and he continued to preach the gospel. because he was holding on to that. He was holding on to these promises. These promises, don't be afraid, I'm with you. You're going to be okay. And there are many people yet to be reached. And so this morning, just a few takeaways on how does God encourage us today? And maybe you are here this morning and perhaps you feel like giving up, or maybe you've become overwhelmed with discouragement, whatever it might be, I don't know. But some of the ways that God encourages us today is through the value of loyal friends. Right now, there might be someone who really needs you. I got a note from someone last night who's going through a struggle, and they shared with me, they said, Pastor Dave, there was a person that came and spent the afternoon with me yesterday, and it really meant a lot to me. You know, having people in your life when you're all alone is so important. And there might be someone right now that you need to encourage. You see, God, one another elements of the Bible is we're called to encourage one another. And so there may be someone that you need to come alongside and ask God to show you who that person is. And so encouragement, a few things here. Maybe go to the next slide, if we could, Luke. Encouragement for when you feel like quitting. Value loyal and godly friends. Secondly, be ready for new and open doors. As I mentioned, opportunities and open doors may not be very far away. In this case, Paul, it was just next door, and God had something brand new for him. Listen for God's voice. God still speaks today. And we need to be willing to pay attention and hear his voice. He reminds us of his presence. Be assured of God's presence. Be thankful for God's promises. Be faithful to God's purposes. Your hardship may just be what God is using to actually reach more people. You never know. The challenge you are dealing with, God may have a purpose that he's going to use in order to accomplish his plan and purposes. And when we understand that, there's an element of encouragement that keeps us going. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to not give in to the temptation to give up. To not give in to the temptation to allow discouragement or defeat to take you out of the mission that God has called you to. I want to encourage you this morning to, if you are wrestling with isolation, to allow people into your life, to even acknowledge that, you know what, I need to engage with others. This morning, as we move toward communion, I was praying about this and asking God just for a simple word for going into communion. And the simple word was this, that I'm so glad that Jesus didn't quit on us. Amen? I'm so thankful today that Jesus did not quit. If you remember the battle that Jesus faced in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember the story? As he went to before the cross, the Bible says that he agonized, he sweat like drops of blood from his body. He was in so much anguish knowing what was ahead. He knew exactly what he was going to face going to the cross. And he even prayed this prayer. He said, Father, he said, if there's any other way, he said, take this cup from me. He said, nevertheless, he said, what did he say? Not my will, but. What did he say? Not my will, but. Your will be done. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, Jesus did not quit on us. Jesus did not give up on us. Jesus did not throw in the towel when he knew what was facing him. And neither should we this morning. Because we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. And the reality is, for the church, it's not going to be easy going forward. It's probably going to get harder for the church going forward. We are going to be facing discouragement. We are going to be facing challenges that we've never faced before going forward. And we need, that's why isolation is, there's no hope in isolation. That's why we need to stand together. That's why we need to be together. That's why we need to come together. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the manner. Especially, it says, especially as the day of the Lord appears. Especially as we get closer to coming, to his coming. We must be together. I love the words in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says, let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, we can draw inspiration from Jesus, who was obedient to his mission. He was obedient to his assignment. And he, the joy that was set before him, you were the joy. You were the reason he did this. Because he knew that there were many people in this city, and you were one of them. And so this morning, I want us to, as we receive communion together, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. As we move to communion this morning, let's be thankful that our hope is built on Jesus Christ this morning. The reality is this world is changing. We heard it again this week. The world was in many ways shocked because everything they thought might happen didn't happen. But I want you to know, my dad always used to say, and I've said this many times, God is still on the throne. Jesus is our hope this morning. Jesus is your hope. We can't, our faith is not on earthly powers or authorities. The church is called to simply pray for those who are in authority. But ultimately, our faith and hope is in Jesus Christ, and that's where our encouragement should come. That's where our faith should come. That's where our hope and our reason for going forward should come. That's where our encouragement is this morning. It's in Jesus. And so, let's all stand together. Let's just thank him for a moment. Let's thank him for the encouragement of his presence. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm holding on to that this morning. We need to hold on to that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The song that we're going to sing right now before we receive communion is entitled Cornerstone. And it just reminds us that every life needs to have a strong foundation. Every building that will, in order for it to stand, needs to have a strong foundation. It has to have the cornerstone that all the reference points come from. And Jesus this morning is our cornerstone. Father, we thank you that you are, through Jesus, our cornerstone. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit who's come to be with us. And Lord, I pray right now for anyone here today who just for whatever reason needed to be reminded of this great hope that you have given to us. Jesus, as we now move towards receiving these symbols, the bread, the wine, the cup. Thank you, Jesus, that you did not give up on us. And that because of that, it gives us courage for us to keep going ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. Thank you, as we sang earlier, that your love never runs out. Your love never runs out. It keeps going. It never fails. Thank you, Lord. Before we move to the stations with your heads bowed, I just want to say, if you are here this morning and if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have been away from him, maybe you've been wandering from him, you've been like the prodigal that Pastor Ken talked about last Sunday, I want to encourage you today to open up your heart and say, Jesus, would you come into my life? He loves you. He wants you to welcome him into, he wants you to invite him to come into your life this morning. Would you ask Jesus to forgive you? Would you ask Jesus to wash away all of your sin? He promises to do it. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is receive. I want to invite you to do that this morning. And when you do that, it just gives you that open door to come and receive communion, to receive these symbols of what Jesus did on the cross for you. His body was broken, his blood was shed, so that we can experience all of his grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes God wants to use someone within our body, within our family here, to bring a word of encouragement. And so I'm going to invite Aaron to come. Just God has impressed Aaron with a step.
I just felt yesterday that God was showing me something, was teaching me something, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought it might be an encouragement to some people here. And it's tied into what Pastor Dave was saying about sometimes feeling discouraged or weary, or, you know, I think that one of the things that God does for us as Christians is open our eyes to the needs of people around us. And sometimes those can feel so overwhelming, and, you know, we can just see so much hurting and so much pain, and, you know, sometimes the changes that we want, we don't see as often as we would hope. And so I was thinking about some of these things and some of the preparation or work I feel that I need to do to be able to help in some ways. And but I just was sitting. I had some time. I was on the ferry, and I just really wanted to listen to music, some Christian worship music. But I felt like, oh no, but I should be reading, I should be studying, I should be doing these things. And I just really felt like God was saying, come dance with me. I'm your bridegroom. Come dance with me. And that he just invites us to sometimes, you know, we need to see those things around us, but sometimes we need to also look at the bridegroom. And it made me think of the story of Cinderella, who's gone to the ball and she's danced with the prince, and she's in love, and she then left and she had to go back to her home, and things weren't perfect there, but I can just imagine Cinderella coming back. And some of those chores or the cleaning or the things she needed to do, it was like she was in love. It wasn't even work anymore. It was, you know, the feeling of being in love and doing tasks when you're there, it's a totally different thing than if you're looking at the task and, you know, feeling a bit of drudgery around it. But when you're thinking about this dance you've just had with the prince, with the dance you've had with the bridegroom, that those things are easier to do. And also when we think about, you know, I think about her cleaning her house in preparation for the bridegroom coming. And so there's also that excitement there. And yeah, I guess just that encouragement, you know, we leave here, we go into the world and our work and the hard things we need to do sometimes, but just that we take that time away from that to dance with our bridegroom. And I think each of us can ask God what that is. What does it mean to dance with the bridegroom? And it might be different for different people, but it was just something that I felt God showed me and I thought might be an encouragement. So.
Yeah, amen. That was such a good word, Aaron. Thank you for being obedient and just allowing God to use you this morning. Let's stand. And could we go to the last part of that song where I think it talks about a trumpet? And I think it's about hope. And so let's... you know, can you imagine the Apostle Paul when he got that vision in the night? I'm sure that he just laid there, sat up on his bed, and just said, "Thank you for your presence." Maybe he had a little twirl, a dance, whatever. But there's something about God's presence in the night season, in the darkest hour, that gives us encouragement and hope for what's ahead. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And so if there's anyone that just needs to talk about maybe a low point, a discouraging, maybe you've been on the verge of quitting, maybe God has spoke to you this morning. We'd love to hear some of your story. Maybe send us a note. Maybe fire us an email. Come and talk to us. We'd love to be able to participate in whatever it is that maybe you've been dealing with. But know this, that you are not alone. God is with us, and he wants to take us forward.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.